Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our message today is from John chapter 13, printed on the bottom of page 5 of our worship folder. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." I mentioned at the beginning of the service that this was spoken by Jesus in that upper room on Maundy Thursday. Have you ever wondered why it's called Maundy Thursday? Actually, most churches today just refer to it as Holy Thursday. Well, the reason it's called Maundy Thursday is from these words of Jesus, "A new command I give you, to love one another." The word Maundy is kind of a derivative of an old Latin word, mandatum, which we get our English word mandate, and a mandate is a command. So it's called mandate or Maundy Thursday. Jesus said, "A new command, a new mandate, a new mandatum I give you." Now, most churches today, especially the Lutheran Church, we focus our attention on Holy Thursday, on the Lord's Supper. Other Christian churches that don't really emphasize or really do the Lord's Supper very much, they focus their attention on Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But in the early church, they focus their attention on these words of Jesus. "A new command I give you, to love one another." It's a command. And it's something Jesus tells them and us to do. But now, just the whole term love is so ambiguous, isn't it? I mean, just think of how many different ways people use the term love. You know, if you say, I love my wife, I love my husband, and I love my family, I love my children, I love my grandchildren, it's really a different kind of love, isn't it? I mean, there's a different kind of love you have for your spouse than you have for your children and grandchildren. And if I say I love Jesus and I love chocolate, both are absolutely true, but it's totally different use of the word love, isn't it? And you think how people throw that word love around. You know, teenagers and preteens will send Valentines and say, "All my love," and you really wonder, are they even old enough to understand what that means? Or to say, "I love Jesus and I love all of you," well, both of them are true also, right? But it's a different kind of love. So it's really hard sometimes for us to really get our minds around what Jesus really means by this. So let's take a closer look at what he's really saying. He starts out by saying, Jesus said, when he was gone, and the he there is Judas, okay? Jesus had just told his disciples that someone was going to betray them, and remember, he dipped the bread in the dish of bitter herbs and handed it to Judas, and Judas went out to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that all along. So when Judas was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Yeah, kind of confusing words to understand, but pretty much what it's saying is Jesus is saying, now's the time for me to be glorified. And my Heavenly Father is going to be glorified too. My Heavenly Father is going to be glorified in everything that I do. And then you think of when Jesus spoke these words. Maundy Thursday. And Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. You know, he says, in a little while I'm going to be leaving you. So Jesus knew, and just think about that. While Jesus spoke these words and said he was going to be glorified and his Heavenly Father was going to be glorified, he knew. He not only knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew what Peter was going to do, deny him three times. He knew what the rest of the disciples were going to do, forsake him and flee. He knew what the Jewish court was going to do, the Sanhedrin. Say he was worthy of death because he simply claimed to be the Son of God, which he was. He knew what Pontius Pilate was going to do. Find him absolutely, completely innocent, doing nothing worthy of death, but sentence him to death anyhow. He knew what the Roman soldiers were going to do, that they were going to mock him, spit in his face, put a crown of thorns on his head, beat him over the head with clubs, take him out to Calvary and drive spikes through his hands and feet, put him on a cross, and leave him there to die. He also knew what his heavenly Father was going to do. Completely forsake him and leave Jesus to suffer the tortures of hell on that cross all alone. Does that sound to you like being glorified? Does that sound to you like Christian love? But look what happened, right? Jesus rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of God, ruling all things for the good of his church. God gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And my friends, this is Christian love. What God allowed to happen to Jesus, what God sent Jesus to do, was an act of love, right? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Everything Jesus did was an act of love. It was an act of love and obedience to his heavenly Father, because out of love for his heavenly Father, Jesus did everything his Father sent him to do. And of course, it was out of love for us that Jesus was willing to give up his life to suffer the tortures of hell for us and for our sins so we can go to heaven. This is all love. It's perfect love. It's complete love. And in doing that, Jesus was glorified, right? Because here we are today worshiping and glorifying God, worship and glorifying Jesus. Why? Because of the love he has for us, right? Because of what he has done for us. So keeping that in the background and keeping that in your mind, now look at the command Jesus gives. In verse 8:33, he says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." Pretty strong words, right? Jesus is going to be leaving them. And then he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." It's a very simple command. A new command I give you, love one another. And then he tells us what that means. Jesus says, as I have loved you, in the same way I have loved you, now you should love one another. Do you ever wonder why he calls it a new command? Jesus had told a teacher of the law who came to him, and the teacher of the law said, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "Love," right? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And that wasn't even something new that Jesus spoke. This was actually a quote from the Old Testament, because Jesus said to them, "Well, what does the law say? What do you read?" It was the way God summarized the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament law. He said, "Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself." So So in that sense, this is nothing new. What changed was what it meant and the motivation behind it. You know, it's, can you really command someone to love you? You know, if I come up to you and I say, you know, okay, this is the girl of my dreams, right? So I met my wife, you know, when she was like 14. Her parents said she couldn't date till she was 16. I took her out on my 16th birthday, right? On her 16th birthday, right? I was the first person she ever dated. Didn't want her to get to know anybody else, right? So could I go on that date and say, I command you to love me? What's that going to do? It would probably mean I never got a second date, right? You simply can't do that. What's the motivation behind love? What leads you to love people? It's the things they do, right? And especially the things they do for you. So Jesus says, it's a whole different motivation. Our motivation for Christian love is no longer based on simply God commanding it, but it's based on what Jesus has done for us. Do you notice what he said? As I have loved you, you love one another. So the first motivation for Christian love is to look at Jesus. It's to look at the cross. Just look at the words that Jesus spoke here, as I have loved you, and think about everything Jesus went through on that Thursday and Friday. Think of God so loved the world, God so loved you that he sent his one and only son. Think of the words Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his sheep. And he did it, right? Another place in the Bible, he puts it even better. He says, greater love has no man than this to lay down his life for his friends. And he looks at us and he says, oh, and you are my friends. That's really love, isn't it? It's unselfish, self-sacrificing love. And where Jesus did some amazing things, he put us ahead of himself. He put the eternal things ahead of the physical things, the temporary things. He put eternal life ahead of life in this world. And he suffered and he died to give us eternal life. So there's the motivation. Not just a command, but love for what Jesus has done for us. And then look at the last verse. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How can people tell that you're a disciple or a follower of Christ? How do they know that? Well, how do you know if someone loves you? It's by the way they treat you, right? How do you know if someone loves Jesus? It's by the way they treat Jesus, right? And how do we show our love for Jesus? Well, by obeying his commandments, right? Have you ever seen a couple of people who claim they love each other and they're just constantly bickering, constantly arguing, you know, never doing anything for each other? And what goes through your mind? Well, that's not love. They're just saying that. There's nothing to back it up. Well, the way you show people you're Christian is by the way you live your lives. All people will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. It's the way we show people our faith. It's the way we show people that we love Jesus. You know, we show people we love Jesus when on Sunday morning they see us going to church instead of sleeping in. It's by the way our language when we're talking to other people. It's the way we express things to them. It's the way we act like Jesus by showing that same kind of unselfish, self-sacrificing love to others that Jesus showed to us. And that's how we show them. And that's what Jesus is encouraging us to do. You know, at the end of our services, we have the blessing, right? But before the blessing, we look at something else. Brothers and sisters, right? Children of God, brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. Not just words, it's encouragement, right? Brothers and sisters, go in the peace of Jesus. Go in the peace of sins forgiven. And love one another. Live in harmony with one another. Show Christian love to one another. And as you do, serve the Lord every day in gladness. See, this isn't really a new command. It's simply a command to love. And the motivation is Jesus. The example is Jesus. So my friends, take those words to heart. Love one another. Go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord in gladness. Amen.